We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and this is Wrestling with the Basics. And right here next to me, right in the same studio, so close I can actually feel his warm breath upon my neck.
In the flesh.
It is.
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South City, St. Louis, right by Francis Park. Ideal setting.
How much money do you get from the South Francis Tourist Association?
Not enough.
Gee.
Tree-lined streets.
Oh, it is beautiful.
Oh, it is beautiful.
It isn't, of course, New Athens, Illinois, where I come from. Can you hear me all right, by the way? I sound in my headphones a little dull, but maybe it's just
me. You're coming through okay for me, and
okay.
I think you're okay up there on the monitor, but...
Then it's just it's just my head. That's
it's
all
just your head. I didn't want to say anything, but could be.
All right. Yes, and we are this summer doing our opening joke Jeopardy. And if what basically the premise is, we present you with a series of categories, and you choose which category you would like us to start with. And you can contact us on Twitter, WWB Gospel at Twitter. Or you can go on www.kfuoam.org, and we have a webpage there for Wrestling with Basics, and you can email us via that webpage, too, and let us know what category. It's funny, Matt, we've been asking people to suggest things, but, you know, we really haven't given them a chance to do so. Because we've been in here recording marathon sessions because I've been gone on vacation, you've been gone. But anyway, if you'd like to pick one of these, go right ahead and do so. But here are the categories.
Yeah, refresh our memories. Yeah, what are those categories?
We have a new category.
Oh, boy.
So here are the present categories you can choose from, and you'll have to choose today, Matt. We have Bad Joke 1 and Bad Joke 2. We've actually had the addition of more bad jokes thanks to one of our listeners. Sent us in some bad jokes.
Great.
Then we also have the ones we've had before, Vegetable Conspiracy, Laughter's the Best Medicine, and here's the new category, Why Guys Don't Ask. Okay? So which of those would you like? Bad Joke 1, Bad Joke 2,
boy.
Vegetable Conspiracy, Laughter's the Best Medicine, and Why Guys Don't Ask.
How about, I don't know, can we see what the listener shared? The joke from the listener?
Okay, so
that might be good because
we'll do bad joke
it might
then.
Not be as bad as our bad jokes.
No, they are. I think we kind of inspired Ray Cause. You know Ray?
Ray?
You know Ray?
I don't know if I know,
you know
Ray.
Ray. Okay, well, you should know Ray. He's a nice guy from Redbud, Illinois. Listens to the show regularly. Don't hold that against him, though, people.
Good morning, Ray.
If you know Ray, probably don't mention that to him because he might be upset that word has gotten out. But yeah, Ray actually sent me a website that was on KSDK. The local TV station of all, but they had these special jokes for dads. This was kind of a Father's
Day thing. Oh, well,
perfect.
Well, good.
And I know it's a little past Father's Day, but, you know, Father's Day jokes are always, they're always welcome, are they
always
not?
Anytime we can poke fun at dad, why not? So Ray from beautiful Redbud, Illinois.
So here's just a few of Ray's bad jokes that he shared with us. I remember the first time I saw a universal remote control. I thought to myself, wow, this changes everything.
Universal remote, huh?
The universal remote. It changes everything.
Okay. Let's see. What do you call an alligator wearing a vest?
I don't know, Matt. What do you call an alligator wearing a vest?
An investigator. Well, he stands to reason. That makes sense.
Well, yeah, it's all. Okay. I just misspelled Armageddon. It wasn't the end of the world. All right. One more, Ray. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Boy.
Boy.
Yeah, let's see what we have here.
Pick out the one you like.
Let's see. Is there any I don't like? Of course not.
Of course not.
I'll just end with the last one. A one-liner here. Whiteboards are Remarkable.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, maybe so some teachers can use that one.
Yeah,
as
the, there you go.
Get ready for the school as year. They need good school jokes, yeah. Right?
White
marker board jokes.
Are remarkable.
I tell you, the yes. You know, people, sometimes they comment about what we say and do on Wrestling with the Basics. I have gotten more comments than
right?
ever. Because of your story about your granddaughter about saying the, what was it, the numbers backwards, the alphabet, counting backwards.
Yes.
I've got more comments.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was a hit. That was so, yeah, that was good. Your granddaughter has some good material.
She is, yep, I tell you what. Now she didn't have anything for me when I got back from vacation, though, so I'm sorry. We'll have to let you know in
okay,
the
well, when it comes up, well, yeah, she needs to be a category
on
opening
on
show
it.
Jeopardy.
So what do you got? I understand you've been working on some special Bible study there at your church, and you're going to share it with
us?
Yes, so what is the subject for today?
Well, over at Ascension, one thing we're doing during these summer months, these Sundays after Pentecost, we're doing a sermon series where we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, this isn't just for Bible study.
No,
this is actually on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, so this
preaching.
Is on a Sunday morning.
I'm impressed.
And we've got a special fruit of the Spirit banner that looks like a big cluster of grapes, and we add a grape each Sunday. And then,
when you said that, a fruit of the Spirit banner with a cluster of grapes, I kept thinking of the Fruit of the Loom underwear. I just pictured this giant underwear up in front of your church with the logo.
We
there
could get some mascots for this. I've never seen a sermon series mascot. We could get those Fruit of the Loom guys.
You know,
maybe
you
could
go
parade out in front of the church.
Okay.
But I lost one of the grapes for the banner. I lost our grapes. I couldn't find them, so I called our church secretary to help me. I said, I lost joy. I can't find my joy. But finally, she told me where joy was at, and I put it on the banner.
You should be doing categories for opening joke Jeopardy.
Oh, boy. Yeah, my stories are on the same par with those jokes, that's for sure. So then we're also incorporating to make it fun for the whole family. If people memorize the nine fruit of the Spirit, as listed in the book of Galatians, then they get a free bookmark.
Oh, is that
which
right?
could also, it's big enough, it could
not
double.
Free underwear?
No free underwear.
Yeah, you missed it there. Free underwear should have
free
been.
Free bookmark.
Yeah.
Yeah, free underwear. Well, now
free
you're talking.
Fruit of the Loom underwear.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Just imagine that.
Okay.
If they say the fruit of the Spirit, they get a free bookmark, no matter what age, which is kind of fun.
That
it makes
is neat.
It
That's
neat.
Exciting.
Some artwork on there from one of our members, one of our recent high school grads, Lexi, so I thank her for that. So pretty neat. Anyway, the Fruit of the Spirit sermon series, though, it's not just something that the pastor cooked up, this list of fruit stuff.
Yeah.
No, this is actually from the Bible. So this
is
from the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, to the church in Galatia. And as part of that letter, he lists the fruit of the Spirit, but he also contrasts those fruit of the Spirit with what he calls the works of the flesh.
Okay.
So the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh. So maybe we can start there in our discussion.
Ooh, we want to start with a negative? Is that what you want to do?
Well, Paul does, so I figured we might as well do it too.
Yeah. I mean, he's an apostle. He should know
he
what
knows
he's
what
doing.
He's doing. Yeah. So we'll let's read both. So we'll
okay.
So this is for our listeners. This is from Galatians chapter 5, and we're looking at those works of the flesh. Really, well, why don't we start with
What do you give if they memorize the works of the flesh?
That,
what kind of prize?
Then we could give them the underwear.
Okay. So here it is. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, well, yeah, so that's a cheery sermon series, huh?
that'll be for next summer.
That'll be next summer.
Yeah.
The works of the flesh. I'll take one at a time. Yeah, the sorcery week and the orgy week. Oh, boy.
Oh, that'll draw a crowd. What prize are you giving that day,
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
What kind of banner are we going to hang? But anyway.
Right.
All kidding aside, these works of the flesh that Paul lists, they get kind of graphic. They do. And sexual immorality, impurity, dissensions, divisions. And then what really kind of strikes me then is, how does Paul end the list? He says, and things like these. Implying this list could go on and on.
This
is not an exhaustive list of works of the flesh. This is just the tip of the iceberg. These are just things off the top of my head that are works of the flesh.
Just jotting them off right here because I could have gone on and on and on. But I think you've had enough. You've gotten the idea of what we're trying to say.
Yeah. Exactly. So these works of the flesh, again, really have their origin in our flesh.
Yes.
And we think of our own sinful flesh, our sinful nature, and what's a result of that? The works of the flesh. Things like these, and the list goes on. And then that warning, too, pretty stern warning. I warn you, as I warned before, that those who do such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy. So what are we to make of that statement? Because I'm looking at this list, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, I've done a couple of those. I am sinful by nature. These works of the flesh are evident in my life, even as a Christian. So what's the deal?
Well, you're going to hell. I've been meaning to tell you. I thought you might be offended and we wouldn't be able to do the show anymore. But you're right. That's the truth we have to wrestle with. That yes, if God would treat us the way we deserve and we'd get what we should all go to hell. That's what we should do. We had the text a couple weeks ago where Jesus Christ says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before God in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you in heaven.
Yeah.
And that struck me because he was speaking this to Peter, James, John, Andrew, and all the rest of the guys who would indeed deny him. They'd abandon him. Peter would actually do it three times, deny him. And so that's the fact. Yeah, really, if Jesus would give us what we deserve, it would be just what it says here. We would not inherit the kingdom of God.
You bet. Yeah, and that's the reality of things. I think we have to acknowledge that. So Paul really is acknowledging the seriousness of sin. It's a serious thing. Sin separates us from God. That's what sin does. And if that sin is left unchecked, if that sin is left unconfessed, unrepented of, that's the end result. Yeah, we don't inherit the kingdom of God.
And this is a powerful thing, but you're right, Matt. It's where you really need to begin, because until we understand the depravity of sin and the ultimate consequences of that, we can't really begin to appreciate then the next thing, which is the fruits of the Spirit.
Exactly. This is where we have to start, because you hear that often, even as a pastor, that we don't like to think that sin's that serious. Maybe I've gotten past sin. Maybe I'm not a sinner anymore. Maybe it was just something that's over and done with.
I've overcome that.
Yeah, but no, the reality is, no, we are sinners. And again, if left unchecked, unrepented, boy, that's the result. We do not inherit the kingdom of God.
And this doesn't surprise me coming from the Apostle Paul, because, he's the guy who in Romans says, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. Who will save me? Who will deliver me from this body of death? And that's what he's saying. This is what we are in our flesh. We cannot get any better than that. Cannot be reformed, cannot be improved. I think that's very important for us to know, because a lot of Christians, that's the program. We're going to do a sermon series on how you can become a better Christian. But that's never the program in the Scripture. The program in the Scripture is you can bear fruits of faith. That's true. But as far as improving you or making you better, no, this is what the flesh is, and this is what the flesh will always be until you die, which is why you got to die, Matt. Sorry. Yeah. That's the other thing I was going to tell you about. You're going to die, but hopefully not anytime soon.
Yeah. These new revelations from Rushing at the Basics.
That's right.
Okay, so we won't want to stop there with these works of the flesh. No. We want to continue. So Paul does that. So here's the fruit of the Spirit, where he talks about, he lists off those things in verses 22 through, let's go through 24 in Galatians chapter 5.
But before I do that, because like you say, what we're now going to list, and you say there's 9 of them? Because I've never really bothered to count them before.
Yes.
There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Okay, good. I have to start working on that so I can get that bookmark.
Okay. Anytime.
We
have a variety of colors, too. And they're just big enough they can double as a coaster for 2 beverages. So if you have too many bookmarks,
you can
it doubles
still
as a coaster.
But what strikes me is the first things are the works. They're the works of the flesh.
Yeah, very good.
So if your program and plan is stuff you're going to do, inevitably, this is what's going to be the fruit and result. This is what happens when people try to do works. But now we have something totally different, which are the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah. And even seem called fruit, though it's this one.
It's a singular.
I kind of like that picture. Yeah. This
really?
Fruit of the Spirit. So almost like this cluster of grapes. I kind of like that picture. That's why we have the grape banner. And in this single fruit, there's these individual grapes, right? But yet a single cluster, just like this individual fruit from that spirit comes this cluster of fruit. You know, things like love and joy and peace and patience and so on and so forth.
Holy cow.
Got a holy cow even. Yeah, let's...
Holy
oh, there we go.
Cow. There we go.
So it's kind of a neat picture, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. And now, see, again, you got my mind working. See, my brain's thinking. Jesus Christ says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Exactly.
See? And that's the whole fruit language here. So it's not about so much that we're going to give you a list of things you need to be doing.
Exactly.
Because that's the works. That leads you to the flesh, and this is not the stuff. We're going to show you the things, and I love the fact. I did not realize that before. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So this is the whole ball of wax. You get the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of faith, of forgiveness, of mercy, and these are the kind of things that flow from that connection.
And see, and I think that's so, so important to recognize. As we talk about this in Wrestling with Basics, and with the sermon series, that I think you set it up really well, that we have this picture that Jesus gives to us. He's the vine, we are the branches, and that fruit that we bear, it happens. It just happens because we are connected to Christ. And so connected to our Savior, the fruit that we produce in our life is just, that's what happens when you're connected to the Savior. You produce fruit. So These nine fruit of the Spirit that we're about to read aren't things, we shouldn't preach them or talk about them on the radio as if you better love, better have joy in your life.
Yes.
You know, you need to have this.
Whatever the other seven are, you apparently haven't got it memorized yet either. Okay, go ahead. But we know a couple of them are love and
joy. I give away the bookmarks. I don't get the bookmark.
That's right.
But again, those are things that flow out of our lives as people who are connected to Christ. This is what happens. This is the fruit that we bear. That's what takes place. It reminds me a little of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are, so on and so on, the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. Jesus is not really saying you better be meek, but no, this is who you are in Christ. This is who you are as my people. And so also with the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm glad you pointed that out. Not works, not like those works of the flesh, but fruit that is born as those connected to Christ.
On the whole Beatitude thing, Jeff Gibbs, who's a pretty smart guy. He's actually a professor at the seminary, and they don't give those jobs to monkeys, You got to be pretty sharp to do that. And like you said, in the Beatitudes, those are not in conditional statements. They're not saying, if you're humble, you get this stuff. It says, this is
good
how
point.
It is. This is just a statement of fact. That's how it is. And this is a statement of fact. Although maybe we need to define what we mean when we say connected to Jesus. What do you mean by that, to be connected to Jesus?
Yeah. So, to go back to that vine and branches imagery in the book of John, Jesus talks about how we've been connected, really, this picture of being grafted onto this vine.
Yes, because we were wild. No, we shouldn't have. We couldn't bear any fruit. That was the problem.
Yes.
We were grafted onto that.
So
that
connected,
vine.
The vine is Christ, that gardener, master gardener. We could see as God the Father, and how he's grafted us, connected us to Christ through his word. Through, I would say, water in his word, through baptism, connecting us to our Savior. And now, connected to him, that life-flowing nutrients, just like a real vine and real branches, flows in our lives from our Savior.
So we go and we eat the bread and drink the blood, and that's just like the sap of the vine flowing into us.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to think this is why, in order for this to happen, for us to bear the fruits of the Spirit, Paul had to begin with the works of the flesh, because you have to understand that apart from Christ, you can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you don't understand that reality, there's very little hope in you ever having any of the fruits of the Spirit. Once you realize you can do nothing in your flesh, well, then, of course, we can return to Christ for his love and mercy and forgiveness. Like you said, to baptism, as I said, the Lord's Supper, the word that you and I study. And then, like you said, it's just going to happen. You don't have to go out and exhort your tomato plants to bear tomatoes.
Yes.
You just make sure they're nourished. You give them sun, you give them water, you give them what they need, fertilizer, and they will bear tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with us as Christians. We just got to have that water and that refreshment of God's holy word, and his Spirit will do in us what he wants to.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'm excited now. Let's get at them.
All right, let's go.
So what is the first one then?
What do you?
Oh,
you want
to
read it?
Well,
I'll read it. You want to read it?
I can read it. I got it.
Okay, Galatians 5, verse 22.
But the fruit, not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot to memorize, man.
Okay. You can do it, John. You can do it. But yeah, that's interesting. So we have, you got the three. The first three all have one syllable. The second three all have two syllables. Okay. The last three all have three syllables. That helped me out.
Oh, it does. Oh, a little monomic device.
Yeah, that's
there.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. Good. I'm here to help.
Because you have to have them in order, don't you?
Well, you have to get the bookmark. You have to have them in order.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So he, Paul lists these fruit of the Spirit. Beautiful things, especially when they're contrasted with those works of the flesh. But then he continues and he says, against such things there is no law. That's kind of an interesting phrase. So what is Paul saying here when he says, against such things there is no law?
Well, see, this is the problem. This is the problem. We all think the key to doing good works is law. Yeah. Right? You got to tell people what they need to do. You got to twist their arm a little bit, threaten them. You know, you're going to go to hell if you don't do these things. But Paul has told us over and again, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
The law's good. No denying it. The law is a thing we should follow. But when you come at people with the law, you just make them all the more sinful. You know, that's what Paul said. He said, I didn't think I was coveting until the law said, thou shalt not covet. And he said, man, it was like I was coveting everywhere.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole point here. What we need is not works that are based on the law, not things that are done because we have to do them or out of fear of punishment, but these natural things, as you said, Matt, that flow from the fact we have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is a spirit, again, of faith and forgiveness, of love and salvation. So,
So these things not really flowing out of a law, but out of the gospel, out of Christ. And then against these things, there's no law. There's no limit to these things either. No, have at them. These works of the flesh, keep them in check. Resist them. Repent of them. But these fruit of the Spirit, no, have at it. Live them out. Bear that fruit. That's yours in Christ.
And I like that thought too, Matt. So unlike the law where we have a list and we can check it off and say, I've done that, I've done that. I've spent my hour in church, for example, with the fruits of the Spirit. It's like, what other good thing can I do now? There really isn't any end to it. And it's something that we're doing all week long. All the time.
Have at it. And I love that idea that, so we're connected to Christ, we're forgiven in Him, our salvation is a done deal.
Yes.
Jesus has accomplished it all through His death and resurrection. Now, have at it. Live out the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against it. Do it. You don't have to worry about your salvation. It's a done deal. Live out the work, the fruit of the Spirit.
You know, one other comforting thing, though, because we're obviously not going to get to them.
<I know.
laughs> we spent a whole half hour talking about them, but we will actually get to them next week. But I think one of the comforting things about the whole idea of it being the fruit of the Spirit is sometimes plants don't bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they can't or that they won't. And so I think as Christians, let's not get frustrated if sometimes it seems like the works of the flesh are prevailing. No, that's a call for us to repent, to acknowledge we can do nothing apart from Christ, and then again, be connected with Him through His word and sacrament and His forgiveness and grace. And the fruit will come. The fruit will come.
Yep. Just like the plant needs to be fertilized and watered and need that sunlight, so also do we. Very good. Good. Well, next week, maybe we'll actually get into the fruit of the Spirit.
We'll talk about one of the fruits.
Maybe we'll cover two fruit. Who knows? We'll see how it goes.
So join us next week for Wrestling with the Basics and the fruits. The fruit of the Spirit.